Welcome to the Hope City Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. Wherever you're listening from, get ready for a powerful message that will inspire your faith, challenge you to grow, and remind you that there's always hope in Jesus. Let's lean in and hear what God has for us today.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, second service. You guys are looking so sharp. I'm glad you're here today. I believe that God has a great an encouraging message for you today, and I've been so excited to be able to preach it. I want to also say, man, we had an incredible turnout this weekend at this week at Dream Team Huddle on Wednesday night, and then yesterday we had an army here helping to clean the church and getting it all ready for Easter. And so, guys, thank you everyone that helped us with that. We're a team and we're a family, and man, when we all come out, it is just amazing to see what happens. All the weeds are gone, thank you, Jesus. Everything's cleaned up. You know how I feel about weeds, so. I am coming and burning the rest of them, so it should be really fun. I'm excited about that. Anyways, all right, moving on with the message. No, I'm glad you're here today. I think what we're going to talk about, we've been in this series called Unwavering. And unwavering means you don't move no matter what circumstances look like. You hold on and you stand for what God has called you to stand for. And today, we look at Jesus. We're continuing our series, Unwavering. We're continuing in Matthew 21. If you've got your Bibles with you, how many of you have your physical Bibles? We encourage everybody, bring your physical Bibles. It's powerful. Man, get into that word. Because this morning especially, you're never going to know the authority that you have in Christ if you don't know what Scripture has to say about it. If you don't know what God is saying, because what's happening is when we dig into this, what heaven is saying should be happening here on earth. This week is Passion Week. It's the final days of Jesus' life. So starting today is the day that Jesus came in on Palm Sunday, and within 1 week, Friday, he would be getting up on a cross and giving his life for you and for me. He would defeat death. He would give us authority over death. Death is not the end. It's literally the beginning for people that believe. That's why the Bible says we don't mourn like the world does when somebody that we know dies that knows Jesus. It's an amazing thing when you know that Jesus knew what was going to come Friday, and he still rode into Jerusalem on that donkey. He rode in for you and for me so that we could experience salvation, that we could experience all that he has. This Passion Week was the final days of Jesus' life. Everything is accelerating. Everything matters. And when someone knows their time is short, they don't waste their words. They don't play it safe. They don't hold back. They lean in. And that's exactly what Jesus is doing. He didn't sit around going, man, I know what's coming Friday. I think he got more intense. And Matthew 21 is everything he did in that week. You know, we've been talking about Matthew 21 for a couple of weeks. There was a lot to that week. There was a lot packed into that 24 hours, and I think we pay attention to it. Let me say it like this. If Jesus chose to say it in his final week, we better pay attention, because this isn't casual teaching. This is a kingdom emphasis. At the beginning of Matthew 21, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. The crowds were shouting. People were celebrating. But within days, everything shifted. Betrayal is coming. The cross is coming. And then in the middle of it all, Jesus doesn't retreat. He doesn't pull back. He doesn't go quiet. He doesn't play it safe. He shows us what it looks like. Some of us, we're playing life so safe that we're not willing to step out of our comfort zone. And God is saying, I've given you authority to step out of that comfort zone. Stop playing it safe. Jesus steps forward. He walks into a temple. He flips tables. He confronts broken systems. He heals people. He teaches with power and authority. Power and authority. Jesus is not passive in this moment. He is purposeful. And then came the religious leaders, not to learn, not to listen, not to lean in, but to challenge. By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you the right? Today I want to talk to you about what it looks like for you and I to walk in unwavering authority that God has given each one of us. If you see in your life things are not matching up to what God's word says, I'm going to challenge you. Take that authority and say, God said it and I believe it. I'm holding on to it. Like, I'm not going to go by everything I see and by everything the world has to offer. I'm going by what you have to say, God. I'm going to start speaking life over my situation. I'm going to take every scripture, and that's what I'm going to believe in. But see, here's the problem. A lot of people go by what they see, not by what they know. They go by what they feel, right? Here's a good indication that you're going by what you feel. When you go, well, I just feel that way. How many of you said that before? I just feel this way. And it doesn't line up with God's word. And instead of stopping and taking authority and saying, I don't care what I feel, this is what I know, and God's word has promised it, and I'm going to trust him. That's what speaking life, the power of speaking life and death is. You know, the darkness has no authority over you unless you give it to him. Right? All Jesus has to do is shine the light in. The enemy does not have authority over you or your family unless you give it to him. How do we abdicate our authority? By handing it over to him and by believing what he's saying instead of holding on to what Jesus is saying. Let's bring it to where we live. Have you ever stepped into something God called you to do and somebody questioned you? Who do you think you are? What makes you qualified? Well, do you know your past? Your past does not determine your future. It doesn't matter what you did, It doesn't matter what you did last week. God wipes all that away. So stop living in the past and start walking in what God has called you to do. That's taking authority. Stop going back and regretting and trying to fix all these things that were broken in the past and start looking forward. That's authority. When your front windshield is bigger than your rear view mirror, that's what you need in your life. What makes you qualified? Who gave you permission? You're walking in obedience and someone tries to pull you back into insecurity. You're stepping out in faith and someone tries to make you second guess your calling. And you better look beyond that person, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We're wrestling against the enemy. What the enemy is trying to constantly say about you is a lie. And if you hold on to it, you're going to operate that way and you'll never live up to what God has to say. What you might need to say is zip it. Or what my kids used to say, zip it, stinky. That would be, there you go. Now, who was that used to say that? I don't know. Anyways, I digress. But that's exactly where Jesus was in this moment. In fact, throughout his earthly ministry, everywhere he went, people said, well, who gave you permission to do this? Who said that you are? And he goes, God did. Because authority comes right from the kingdom of heaven, and it's given to each one of us. When you see something going on in your life that is not according to this word, you need to step up in authority and say, I will not accept that. I'm only going to accept what this word says. Some of us, we don't realize this, but it's so important. What is happening in the physical is determined by what's going on in the spiritual realm. Okay? It's not the other way around. The spiritual realm affects the physical realm, not the other way around. How much time do we put focus on the physical realm and we never put our eyes back on Jesus and say, this is a battle we have to fight in the spiritual, not in the physical realm? Some of you are exhausted because you're fighting the wrong battles. You need to be fighting on your knees instead of with this. That's taking authority. You got to stop and tell the enemy, I'm not listening to you anymore. You have no authority over my life because I've been blood-bought. I've been saved. Jesus got on a cross for me, and my life belongs to him. Some of you are acting like the enemy has the final say over your life. He doesn't, unless you give it to him. It's exactly where Jesus was. And here's the truth. When a real authority shows up, insecure authority gets threatened. Because real kingdom authority doesn't need approval. Real kingdom authority doesn't beg for validation. Real kingdom authority doesn't shrink in pressure. Real authority stands. We have a problem in America with authority. Do you know that? We don't like to be told what to do. We don't like people to speak into our lives. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll submit yourself to God and you'll listen to his voice, he will answer and do incredible things in your life. When you come underneath his authority. At this moment, it wasn't just confrontation, it was revelation. Because Jesus was about to show us what unwavering kingdom authority really looks like. People who walk into a situation that will not back down because they're afraid, that will not close their mouth because people are trying to silence them. God is going to put you into rooms and places that he's calling you to step into and speak to and stand up about his name. And we need to not be afraid to do it. He's going to call you into job sites this week where God is calling you to be the light, to take authority and to step in and do what he's called you to do. Jesus would show us not loud but powerful, not defensive but secure, not shaken but settled. And don't miss this. This isn't just about Jesus. It's about you and me. Because the same authority he walked in is the authority he's placed inside of you that God has given all of us. And the last time I checked, Scripture said, Jesus said that we would do even greater things than he did. How do we get a hold of that? We get our authority from God to walk into situations and say, God, I am going to walk in and do what you've called me to do. Because the same authority that Jesus walked in is available to us today. And that authority comes directly from God, the author and the source of kingdom authority. Some of you have been living beneath what God already has given you. You've been asking for permission for something that heaven has already authorized. Some of you have been waiting for confirmation when God already spoke. But today, something is about to shift when you get a hold of that spiritual kingdom authority. We're not just going to talk about kingdom authority, we're going to step into it. I don't want to just talk about it. I don't want to sit around and go, well, I think I've got this. Let's step into it. And my challenge to you is, God, what does that look like in my life? What do I need to do to step into the authority? What places do I need to go? If you're tired of the enemy attacking you and attacking your family, if you're tired of the enemy taking territory in your life and the people around you, it's time to stand with unwavering kingdom authority and say no more. Because God, you've given me authority over this situation. So if you're ready to stop shrinking back, if you're ready to stop second guessing, if you're ready to walk in what God has already placed in your life, lean in today. This is what kingdom authority looks like, Matthew 21, 23 through 27. We're going to see what it looks like to be unwavering. And Jesus has showed us this over and over again. Let's read it. When Jesus returned to the temple and he began teaching, the leading priests and elders came to him. They demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? These are religious folks. How many times does God use people who are wrapped up in, no, the God, let me back this up. How many times that people who are wrapped up in the religious spirit try to step out and stop what God's doing in your life? And that it's friendly fire, right? It's people that should know better. If that made sense, hopefully it did. They demanded, by what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right? I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question. I think two. What were they meaning when they said these things? Healing people, setting people free, like the things that need to happen. And these religious leaders had an issue with it. Did John's authority to baptize you come from heaven, or was it merely human? They talked it over among themselves. If we say it was from heaven, he'll ask us why we didn't believe John. But if we say it was merely human, and we'll be mobbed because the people believed John was a prophet. So they finally replied, we don't know. And Jesus responded, then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. And this picture of Jesus being like, hey, you already should know this. You already should know by what authority. I'm not going to tell you. And that's what unwavering kingdom authority looks in our lives, that we will not waver back and forth. It doesn't care what anybody's saying. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. We're going to hold on to that authority. We can step forward in that God-given authority and call what is true in heaven to be true on earth. We're talking about shifting atmospheres. Did you know we shift atmospheres by what we say? The power of life and death is in the tongue. And some of you have been speaking death over your life instead of holding on, and you're giving the enemy a foothold. So start speaking in that authority. Some of you are wondering, like, well, man, if I say it, is God actually going to back me up and do it? Even if. But I promise you, he will. He'll do it. It may not be in your time frame. It may not be exactly how you want it to be done, but he's going to meet you. Because what my Bible says is that God never puts those he loves to shame. It's a powerful word. We're talking about taking hold of all of God's promises and word and taking hold of them for our lives, not only in the spiritual realm, but the physical realm also. There are times, we live in a society today where we think doctors are the answers. Did you know they say doctors are practicing medicine? They don't know everything. And there's a moment where doctors say, we've done all we can do. There's nothing else we can do. And that's when the authority of God gets to step in and say, God can step in and go, I can heal this person. It doesn't matter what the doctors have said. In fact, I like that when the doctors say they can't, there's nothing else they can do, because then all of a sudden God shows up and you see him do incredible things, right? So let's dig into a kingdom authority and how we take hold of it. Point number one, what is kingdom authority? Let's clearly define it. Kingdom authority is the God-given right and power to represent heaven on earth. That's what we are called to be bearers of. We are called to walk into situations and bring heaven to that situation. What do I mean by that? I mean, everything this Bible says, every promise he gives us, we are called to walk that out and bring it into situations. We're called to take that authority. And listen, it's a right and it's power. Some people act like we don't serve a powerful God. We serve a very powerful God who was resurrected. Jesus was resurrected on the third day. The power of resurrection, the power that was on display for you and I. We serve a powerful God. Don't ever think that he's not powerful and can't meet the need that you have. I promise you, he's a powerful God. He created the heavens and the earth. So he gives us the right and the power. It's not about control. It's not about titles. It's not about position. It's about alignment with God and assignment from God. Alignment and assignment. Write it down. Jesus didn't walk around asking for permission because he already had submitted to the Father. Authority in the kingdom flows from submission, not self-promotion. Oh, I just said the S word in church. Americans do not like to submit. But the truth of it is, we need authority in our lives and we need to submit to what God is saying. That's why Jesus could speak with confidence. That's why demons fled. That's why people were healed. That's why the truth carried weight. You got to start speaking with confidence like you actually believe what this word says. Because his authority wasn't self-generated, it was heaven-backed. You are backed by the God of this universe when you step out and you hold on to his promises. So when Jesus shows up with real authority, they don't celebrate it, because this is what bothered the religious leaders. The religious leaders had titles, but no power. They had position, but no authority. And when he showed up, they don't celebrate it, they question it. And can I just say, this still happens today. When someone walks in true kingdom authority, people who are used to control will feel uncomfortable. Control has no room in the kingdom. There's some of us in the room, we love to control everything. And God is saying, you have to release control and let me control what you're walking through. Give him control. Point number two, where does kingdom authority come from? Jesus answers their question with a question. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Jesus was saying, this authority was heaven. It came from heaven. He's exposing something deeper, because authority only comes from two places. You get authority from heaven, which is God-given authority, or man, which is self-appointed authority, and the difference matters. Here's what self-appointed authority looks like. They always need validation, threatened by others, they protect position, and they operate in fear. If you operate in fear in your life, it's a terrible taskmaster. If fear determines how you live your life, you are going to be in bondage until you get free of it. And how do you know you're living in fear? Listen to your words. Well, I'm so afraid of this, and I'm so afraid of that. What if the stock market crashes? What if I don't have money? I'm so afraid of this, and I'm so afraid of that. Those are words we got to get out of our dictionary. Fear has got to go. Stop operating in fear, because it shuts down the authority that God wants to give you. Here's what God-given authority looks like. You walk in confidence, not arrogance. You can walk into a room and say, God, I know you're going to do this. I know you said you're going to do it, and I'm going to hold on until it happens. Serves, not controls. Is secure, not defensive. Advances God's mission, not personal agenda. Holds on to God's promises and uses God's word as the final authority. Where is your final authority? Is it in this word? Because there's a whole movement of people today who say, oh, this is a good book. It just has some good truths in it, but I don't know that I have to live this way. No, this is the final authority right here. Yeah. What's the final authority in your life? And I'm going to tell you something. You can find anybody that twists scripture to work it around to what you want to believe, and you will lose authority in your life. What is the final authority in your life? Who do you give authority to speak into your life? Well, I don't want to be told what to do. What if you need to be told what to do to bring authority? How about somebody that comes along and cares about you that will speak things out in your life, and you give them permission to do that? In our scripture today, Jesus is forcing the religious leaders to answer a deeper question. Are you submitted to heaven, or are you protecting your own system? And they can't answer because they're not actually seeking truth. They're trying to maintain control. What if that's us? What if we're not actually seeking truth? We're just trying to control everything. And then we wonder why our life doesn't line up with what God's saying. Woo! I'm glad the air's on up here because it's getting hot. Point number three, why is kingdom authority so important? Why is it important that we walk in it? And this is where it hits us. Authority matters because everything in the kingdom operates through authority. Where God says, you have the ability to step out and what I've already promised you. I've given you the authority to walk into your world. And see, I think that's why darkness is so prevalent, because Christians have given back that authority. And what I'm challenging us to do, start walking everywhere you go. Take that authority. I'm bringing the light. I'm bringing heaven. Wherever I go, wherever I step into, I'm bringing heaven to wherever I walk. That's the kind of authority you have. Salvation flows through the authority of Jesus. Healing flows through the authority of Jesus. Freedom flows through the authority of Jesus. The church operates under the authority of Jesus. Jesus said it. Now we can operate in that. We can walk in that. If you misunderstand authority, you will either abuse it, reject it, or never walk in it. I see this all the time. Some people run from authority because they've been hurt by it. Others chase authority for status. But kingdom authority isn't about being in charge. It's about being sent. It's about going and doing what God has called you to do. I think in America, we have a very twisted view on authority. People don't like to be told what they need to be doing. We've got to get back to knowing what kingdom authority looks like, unwavering kingdom authority. Point number four, what's Jesus teaching us? Jesus refuses to answer them directly. Why? Because revelation is reserved for the humble, not the resistant. Should I say it again? Yeah. Revelation is reserved for the humble, not the resistant. If you are full of pride, you'll never hear what God is trying to tell you. And we live in a world that celebrates pride. There's a whole month in June called Pride that we all that people celebrate. This world celebrates pride. The more pride, well, I'm a self-made man. I can do this on my own. I'm a self-made woman. Pride, that is why you may not have that authority that you've been called. Revelation is reserved for the humble. You want God to show you stuff? Be humble. They didn't lack information. They lacked surrender. Jesus shows us something powerful. You don't get access to authority if you won't submit to authority. I'll say it like this. If you won't recognize heaven's authority, you won't walk in heaven's authority. Who has the final word? Where does that authority come from? And this is where we have to check our hearts. Are we like the religious leaders? Do we question what God is doing because it doesn't fit our expectation? Do we resist authority when it challenges us? Do we protect comfort over surrender? Or are we people who say, God, whatever you're doing, I want to be aligned with it? I'm going to make it real practical. How do we walk in unwavering kingdom authority? First of all, we have to stay submitted to God. Authority doesn't start with leading. It starts with surrender. Authority means, God, if you ask me to do something, I'm doing it. God, I'm surrendered to you. I don't want pride in my life. If pride has been a part of your life, it needs to go. You have no room for pride. I've even heard family say, well, that's our family pride. No, get rid of it all. We don't need pride in our life. Pride is a sin. Jesus was submitted to God. He constantly withdrew to pray. He constantly was focusing on sustaining his relationship with God. And God was the source of all kingdom authority. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. So who are you listening to? And who are you allowing to direct your life? You might go, God, well, I haven't been able to hear God. Maybe you're not hearing God's voice. I want you to know God's still speaking. If you're not hearing God, there's a problem. What could that problem be? Maybe you didn't do what he told you to do. He's still waiting on what he told you to do way, way back. Go back to the last time he spoke to you and make sure you followed through with it. He might be waiting on you while you're trying to wait on him. Know your assignment. Authority is tied to calling. All the young people in the room, I want you to look at me right now in the eyes. Young people all the time tell me, well, I don't know what to do with my life. And my question to young people is, have you asked God what he wants you to do with your life? Have you surrendered your life and say, God, what do you want me to do? Stop trying to figure it out on your own. Take some time with God and say, God, I need you. Every one of you has a calling. Every one of you, God has a special assignment for. And if you'll stop and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? What is it that you want me to give my life to? It'll transform you. You're not going to walk around lost and broke, like not knowing what to do. God's going to say, this is what I want you to do. This is the calling that I have for you. And all you have to do at that point is say, God, I will follow you. Whatever you have for me. Here's what I need my young people to believe in. I'm so proud of our youth here today. Look at this service. Let's fill this service up with youth. I would love that. And you, all the rest of you too, keep coming. Youth is in the eye of the beholder, so everyone in here is young. All right. I promise you God has something so amazing for each of you. It's nothing like the world could ever offer you. So run after him. God, what is it you want me to do with my life? I'll give it to you. It's yours, God. My life is yours. There's some adults in this room. You got to know your calling too. If you're to be truthful, we'd sit down and you'd say, Pastor, I have no idea. I don't know what my calling is. I don't know what God has me here for. You better find out. Take some time and say, God, what is it you have for me to do? What do you want me to do? Know your assignment. Know what God's calling you to do. Stop trying to carry what God didn't assign to you. You don't need authority for everything. You need authority for what God has called you to do. Walk in obedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Say it with me. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Well, God, I got to do my A-B list. I got to see how the wins outweigh the pros outweigh the cons. I'll put all that away. And just say, God, what is it? Like, I will obey you, whatever you say. God, yes, yes, yes. I don't know what it looks like, but yes, yes, yes. And all of a sudden, when you say yes, every time you say yes to God, you step deeper into the authority that he's given you. Delayed obedience weakens authority. If there's anything in your life that God's been asking you to do that you haven't done, go do it. Say yes to him. Say yes to him. He will empower you. He will set you free. Another thing, don't seek approval for men. The religious leaders were obsessed with public opinion. Verse 26 says, they were afraid of what people will do. Who cares? Fear of people will always limit your kingdom authority because you're afraid of what they're going to think. Well, what if I say this and then they think this? Who cares? The only person you need to be worried about is what God thinks. Right? Doesn't matter. He'll never put you to shame. Don't seek approval from man. I think so many people are people pleasers and they stop what God has because they're so afraid what other people are going to think. You can't lead with authority if you're controlled by opinions. And then stay humble. Authority without humility becomes dangerous. But humility doesn't mean weakness. It means I know where this came from and I know who I represent. I know where this came from and I know who I represent. Don't ever think any of your blessings are because of anything you've done. It's all what God has done. It's what God has blessed us with. The leaders asked Jesus, who gave you the right? But the real question today isn't about Jesus, it's about us. Are we living under this authority? Are we aligned with his kingdom? Are we walking in what he's already given us? Are we holding on to the truth that God has already said and speaking that truth out over every situation you walk into? Stop speaking death. Don't go by what you feel. Go by what you know. And that's right here. The final authority. Are you aligned with his kingdom? Here's the truth. You don't have to manufacture unwavering kingdom authority. You don't have to strive for it. If you belong to Jesus, you've already been given access to it. You don't have to wonder, well, I wonder if these promises are for me. How about you start holding on to them and saying, God, these promises are for me, and that's how I'm going to operate my life. Maybe today you've been resisting God's authority. No one can tell me what to do. God's been speaking to you. Maybe you've been wounded by authority. Maybe you've never stepped into the unwavering authority that God's given you to step in and say, God, I'm 100% yours. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'm walking in your power and not my power. I'm trusting you for all the promises you've given me. Today's the day to realign. It's the day to say, God, I surrender. God, I trust you. God, I'll walk in what you've called me to do. When you're fully submitted to the authority of heaven, you can walk with unwavering authority on earth. I need some people who are going to wrap their arms around this and walk with the authority that God's given you to go in and invade the darkness, to walk into where you've been called, to walk into your home. If there's darkness in your home, today's the day you come against that darkness. If there's darkness at your work, walk in authority. Don't fall into the world's way of doing things. Don't go back to how it's always been at work. God, I'm walking in new and fresh with your authority. God, forgive me for not following what you've called me to do. God, I'm stepping into my work tomorrow morning as a follower of Christ, as somebody who has authority, who's going to speak against the things that are going on that are not of you, God. I'm going to change my atmosphere. Are you with me? Woo. I want to pray. Will you bow your heads across this room? If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never surrendered, and I'm talking about 100% surrender. Salvation isn't just raising up your hand and then going back to living your life the way you've always lived. It's surrender. It's God, I give you my life. I surrender the way I think, the way I act, the way that I've not lived right. God, I hand it all over to you, Lord, and I surrender. I don't want to be in control of my life anymore. That's truly what it means to be born again, to give your life over to Jesus and say, Jesus, today I surrender. I give you all my brokenness. I give you all my hurt. I give you all my pain, and I want to live my life for you. I want you to be in control. I surrender. If today you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've never surrendered, and you say, today, Pastor, I need to do that, will you just lift up a hand right now? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Whew. I know what that means, guys. Can we pray together? And church, we're all going to join. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. I give you my life. I surrender. Forgive me for the areas that I haven't lived according to what you've said. I repent. Thank you for loving me when I couldn't love myself. Even when I was far away from you, God, you were still pulling for me. Today I say, you drive and I'll ride. My life is yours. In Jesus' name, amen. On your way out, we have a Bible and we want to give you that. Here's my last question. Make sure if you raise your hand to stop by back at Next Steps, we want to just put an arm around your neck and let you know that we love you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm ready to step into this kingdom authority, stand right where you're at. We're going to make a declaration together, and I want you to say this with me. And I want you to really let this get down in your heart, okay? I'm going to say the line, and you say it right after me. Here we go. We are not a powerless church. We're not a passive people. We are called to walk in unwavering faith. Unwavering obedience, unwavering authority, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Jesus, right now, you don't have to follow me anymore. Jesus, right now, I pray a blessing on every person here who just made that declaration and meant it. Unwavering, that means that we don't move when the storms come. That means that we stay attached to our foundation. That means we're not like the world that just goes from one thing to the next and just it has no continuity, God, but we're unwavering. And Lord, today, this week, God, I pray that you would show us what it looks like to be unwavering. And Lord, when the enemy comes, and I know he will, God, we're not gonna move because we're unwavering. Lord, we are going to hold on to what you've called us to do, Lord. And God, I thank you for every person here. I pray a blessing upon them, upon their families. Lord God, I ask that you would do miracles. God, I pray especially for a family here today, Lord, who's close to losing a loved one. I pray, God, that you would just wrap your arms of love around them today, God. Lord, give them peace. Lord, I pray you'd walk beside them. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are close to the brokenhearted and crushed in spirit. And Lord, you carry us through these times. God, thank you for what you're going to do in our lives, God, as we hold on to our authority. God, this is a breath of fresh air. Lord, this is a moment of change, God. It's a moment of atmospheres needing to shift in our lives. Lord, when we take hold of this, that's why you died, Jesus, for that authority. That's why you went to the cross. Lord God, I pray that we'd all walk in that kingdom authority, Lord, that we would see ourselves, Lord, as the most valued people because you died for us, Lord. And God, you value everyone in this room. You love them. You gave your life for them. So, Lord, for people that are looking in a mirror right now wondering, God, why did you create me? I pray that that would change to thank you, God, for creating me. I'm a masterpiece. God, you made me perfect, and you died for my sins. And Lord, I'm so thankful, God, as we get up to this Easter. Lord, you died for us. You gave your life for us. Lord, you're pulling for us today, God, and we have that authority in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday here at Easter. God bless you. Have a great week.
Thanks for tuning in to Hope City Church. If this message encouraged you, share it with a friend and help spread the hope. If you'd like to support what God is doing through Hope City, you can give anytime at myhopecity.church/give. Your generosity helps us reach more people with the message of Jesus. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss a week. We can't wait to connect with you again. And remember, no matter what you're facing, there is hope in Jesus. We hope you have an amazing week.